We sing hallelujah. I'll see your scars, your open arms, the beauty of your face. And through tears of joy, I lift my voice in everlasting praise.
Sets free, oh, it's free. He is risen. When it was evening, since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, there came a rich man from Jewish town of Arimathea. His name was Joseph. He was a respected member of the council, a good and righteous man, who had not consented to the council's decision and action. He was himself a disciple of Jesus, looking for the kingdom of God. But secretly fearing the Jews, he took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus, that he might take it away with him. Pilate was surprised to hear that Jesus should have already died. So summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he was already dead. And when he learned from the centurion that he was dead, Pilate gave Joseph permission and ordered the body to be given to him. So Joseph bought a clean linen shroud and, taking him down from the cross, wrapped the body of Jesus in the linen shroud and bound it in linen cloths with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. Now, in the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden was Joseph of Arimathea's own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock, in which no one had ever yet been buried. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there. And he rolled a great stone against the entrance of the tomb, and Joseph went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, Mary the mother of Joseph, and the woman who had come with him from Galilee, were all there, sitting opposite the tomb, and they saw where his body was placed. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath they rested according to the commandment. But the next day, that is, the day after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember how the impostor said while he was still alive, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and then tell the people he has risen from the dead, and the last fraud will be even worse than the first." So Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers, go, make it as secure as you can." So they went and they made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard outside. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone, and he sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. At dawn on that day, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, Mary the mother of James, and Salome went to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone already rolled away from the entrance, and it had been very large. And entering the tomb, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, an angel of the Lord stood by them in dazzling apparel. As they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. You seek Jesus, who was crucified of Nazareth. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he had said." See the place where they laid him? Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day rise? So then go quickly and tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and with great joy, and they ran to tell all the disciples. And behold, Jesus met Mary, the mother of James, and the other women on their way to find the disciples. And he said, "Greetings." And they came and took hold of his feet, and they worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." And when they returned from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told all these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them just an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter and John rose, and they ran to the tomb. But the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. Stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there all by themselves. But he didn't go in. And the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, was not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place all by itself. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. The other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, he also then went in. He saw and he believed. But as yet, many of them did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. So the disciples went back to their homes and marveled at all that had happened. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning. It truly is a good morning, and welcome. Welcome to Trinity. Thank you for choosing such a joyous day to worship the risen Savior with us. Of course, today is not just any Sunday. Today is Easter, Resurrection Sunday. Today we gather to celebrate the greatest victory in history. The stone has been rolled away, the grave is empty, and Jesus Christ is alive. Amen. No matter what kind of week that you may have had, or what you walked in carrying with you this morning, this is a place of hope. It's a place where we celebrate new life, and a place of joy, because the resurrection changes everything. Today we remember that death has been defeated, sin has been paid for, and new life is available to all who believe in him. This is a day truly of celebration and of renewal, and a day to lift our hearts in worship to him. So whether you've been coming to Trinity for years, or maybe this is your first time, whether you know the Lord Jesus and have believed in him, or you are still seeking, we are glad that you're with us. So welcome to this place, and we invite you now to join us as we celebrate the risen Savior, for he is risen. Let's pray together. Our great and glorious God, we praise you for your steadfast love shown to the world in the gift of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom you reconciled us to yourself and now call us your people, your very children. On this morning, this holy, sacred morning, we rejoice in the victory of the resurrection. As you raise Jesus from the dead, so raise our hearts, lift our hearts to share in the joy of new life. And Holy Father, renew us by your Spirit to walk in faith and hope and love. Lead us to live as people of the resurrection, as we trust in your promises and bear witness to your grace and rejoice in the power of Christ's risen life at work in us. Father, we gather with glad hearts, proclaiming this good news of the empty tomb, like those disciples At the dawn of the third day, we worship you with great joy, declaring he has risen indeed, just as he said he would. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and who reigns with you, and through the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Church, let's stand together and give him praise and worship the risen Savior.
Christ, we stand.
Amen.
We're reminded that with Christ, we've been given new life. We've been made a new creation, and we have resurrected with Christ.
Amen.
And in 1 Peter 1:3-5, we're reminded, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time.
In Romans 6:4-9 says, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him.
Amen. Yes.
1 Corinthians 15:20-22. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. Mm-hmm. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive.
And in John 5, Jesus says, very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life.
Amen, amen.
Now at his
King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive.
Day, everyone. Why don't you say good morning to someone next to you?
Oh, Before we start reading God's word, I just want to let you all know that the Lord... Before we start reading God's word, I just want to let you all know that the Lord has risen from the grave.
Psalm 23. Oh.
Lord is my shepherd.
Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table
for me
in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Praise when I'm down, and I'll praise
when outnumbered, praise and surrounded. His presence in the water, my enemies drowning. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise the Lord. Oh, my soul, praise the Lord. Oh, my soul, I'll praise when I feel it. I'll praise when I don't. Cause praise is the one. You're still in control. This is a weapon. It's more than a sound. This is the shout that brings Jericho down. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise the Lord. Oh, my soul. Keep it inside. Praise the Lord, oh my soul.
I was gonna ask if I could hold it. Yay. 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 Yay.
Can we just give not only the children but our kids, volunteers, the adults, that I'll just give them a round of applause. We're so thankful. I'm not sure which one. We praise God for that. Parents, you know that later on at home after dinner you will be doing all of the hand movements. You know that. They will be teaching you that, and we'll see it next week. Well, we praise God. Before we dive into the message this morning, taken from Psalm 23, just want to get caught up in a few things, what we call church life. So we have just a few things, so it's okay. Next week is... not the first Sunday of the month, but yet we will have our communion, and we will have our first barbecue of the season. We praise God for that, and we're looking forward to that. So that we call that our fellowship lunch, and so we have communion at the end of our service, and then, of course, we have our fellowship lunch after that. And so it's our first barbecue of the season, so we would just ask that everybody that wants to come can just bring a side dish. The church provides all the hamburgers and hot dogs and drinks and desserts. You can just bring a side dish, but you'll be getting information about that during the week. You know, we also have missions coming up. We have missions each month, and those opportunities are just awesome, because at least once a month we provide an opportunity for people to just get outside of the four walls and of the church and to serve. And, you know, as a church, we learn, we grow, we serve our core values, we learn the truth, we grow in faith, and then we serve. And part of the way that we serve is we serve missionaries around the world, but also locally. And we like to help support local missions as best as we can and often as we can, not only financially and through prayer, but actually going to serve. And so there's an opportunity to do that coming up in a few weeks. You'll get more information about it, but it's all on our website, TrinityAllenwood.com, but the next one coming up is on the 18th of April. It's a Saturday, and we'll be going up to the Hoving Home, and it's an organization that houses and provides resources for women who are going through life transition, whether they're getting out of abusive relationships or addictions. It's a very important ministry, and we love to support them at least once or twice a year. So that's coming up, so if you're interested in serving with our church, you can check out our website for that. And you know what? TrinityAllenwood.com, our internet home, our website, has so much information about who we are and what we believe, why we believe it, and how it is that we learn, we grow, and we serve. And so that is an important part of who we are. So it's always hard, I say this every year, but it's always hard to follow that kind of presentation because everybody's like, oh, well, here's the pastor, and now he's gonna talk for an hour, and you know, and we'll go from there. But we praise God that they were able to help lead us in worship. And you know, that first song that they did and the reading from Psalm 23, that is our scripture focus in our scripture passage for today, Psalm 23. And it's not a usual Easter Sunday passage to choose, but I think it's a familiar passage of scripture, and it's one that will, I think, help us focus from the Old Testament into the New on the Lord's resurrection. And so, you know, there is something very different about Easter morning. It just has a different feel, even. There's something a little different in the air, so to speak. A little lighter, a little more joyful, a little louder, of course, than when we gathered on Friday night. Our hope is a little bit more renewed and stronger, because it is the day that we celebrate that the stone was rolled away and the grave was left empty, and even death itself was turned on its head. And if we're honest, we come into a day like this, all of us, carrying things, burdens, questions, fears, needs. Some of us feel full of faith. Others are just hoping to make it through the week, but Easter meets us right there with good news that is not temporary. Good news that isn't even just fragile, but it's good news that is alive. Because Easter tells us this: we're not alone, we're not abandoned, and we are not left to figure out life on our own. We have a shepherd, don't we? We have a shepherd, one who knows us, who leads us, who provides for us, and who laid down his life for us. But then, praise God, he took it up again. And that's why, on a day like today, perhaps there's no better words for us to hear than those written long before the resurrection, but now are filled with an even deeper meaning. So, with our hearts lifted and our hope renewed, we're going to turn to Psalm 23. Perhaps it's one that you've memorized, a lot of our kids did, and one that you're familiar with. But just listen to these words and even just pray as I read that the Lord might, through his Spirit, illuminate a familiar passage of Scripture and reveal something different in a new way this morning. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Because he lives, we as Christians can read Psalm 23, written 3,000 years ago. It's no longer just a comforting poem, although it still is. It can be a beautiful connection to our new life in Jesus Christ because of the resurrection that we celebrate today. King David wrote this psalm in faith, but now we can proclaim the fullness of it and its truths because the shepherd that he trusted has now conquered the grave. So let's just briefly walk through this beloved psalm together as we keep our eyes on the risen Christ, who is the good shepherd. And I think we're going to see three powerful themes. The good shepherd's provision for his people, his protection of his people, and his divine presence with us, his people. So first, provision, Psalm 23, verses 1 to 3. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Can you picture it, church? Can you just picture yourself there? King David writing this, being reminded of how God, the shepherd of heaven, provides. God is our provider. We realize that truth and proclaim it in no greater way than on Easter Sunday because of the power of the resurrection, that we are reminded that God has provided all that we need for eternal life. David begins this psalm with a great confidence. He says, I shall not want. He means I'll lack for nothing because the Lord is my shepherd. See, he starts with that truth. The Lord is my shepherd, so therefore, I'll have everything I need. Do we feel like that? Not only do we feel like that, do we know it and believe it and trust it to be true because of who he is and because of what he has done for us in Jesus Christ. He says, I shall not want. Because the shepherd provides. See, shepherds, we know not very much of this here living in New Jersey. I dare not ask if there's any shepherds in the room today. But shepherds in the ancient world, they really had one primary job, to make sure that their sheep had everything they needed, that the sheep lacked nothing, that they were not in want of anything. Sheep, as many of us know, are surprisingly helpless animals. They can't find good pasture on their own. They won't lie down unless they feel completely safe, and they depend entirely on the shepherd. They depend entirely on the shepherd to lead them to water that is still enough for them to drink. They won't go and drink out of a rapidly flowing stream or brook. He leads me beside still waters. A good shepherd would often even walk miles ahead of the flock to go and scout out the greener pastures and even sometimes needing to remove poisonous plants So the sheep, not very smart, wouldn't eat them. He would sometimes even have to dig wells or clear streams to ensure safe, still water. That's the level of care behind King David's words. John 10:11 says this, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep, the very words of our Savior Jesus. Philippians 4:19, the Apostle Paul says it this way, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Do we believe that this morning? That our good shepherd, the shepherd of heaven, is our provider. King David knew it, and we can know it in a fuller, clearer way this morning because our Savior lives. So in light of Easter, we see this provision fulfilled in Jesus. David couldn't, of course, see that, but he trusted in the shepherd nonetheless. The risen Christ is alive. We've proclaimed it, but he's also still actively providing. He provided the way to eternal life on that morning. But he still provides today. Church, we need to continue to trust him. If we have trusted him for our eternal destiny, we can trust him to provide that job that we need.
Thank you, Lord.
To provide that relationship that we pray for and long for. Yes. To provide the clarity of the next steps in a new season of life. Through his resurrection, he provides what we could never secure ourselves. See, the sheep are helpless. They couldn't do anything on their own, and they needed the shepherd to provide everything that they needed. Like King David says, a shepherd king himself, because God is my true shepherd, I shall want of nothing. But we can't secure any of that ourselves. We can't secure forgiveness or righteousness or eternal life of our own works. We are like those helpless and hopeless sheep that on our own, without our shepherd, we are just that, helpless and eternally hopeless. So the tomb this morning declares that it is empty. Our greatest need, salvation, has been provided for us through Jesus the Good Shepherd. We can praise God for that. God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. But what does it say next in our psalm? It says in verses 4 and 5, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." But why? Because you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. Do you feel like your cup is overflowing these days? God is our provider, but he's also our protector. See, a shepherd provides everything a sheep needs, but he also protects them. It's a big thing that sheep need. They need protecting, especially because we know they're helpless without him. David knew the danger. Remember the story of David when he was much younger? A shepherd tending his father's flocks. David as a shepherd, he grew, and we know stories of him fighting off animals to protect sheep, and later on in life, fleeing from enemies and hiding in caves and walking through literal valleys where predators looked. But yet he says, "I can walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll still fear no evil." Why? Because the shepherd not only provides, but he protects. See, shepherds would carry two main tools. There'd be some other things, but two main tools. They would carry a rod and a staff. See, it's not the same thing. He's not saying a rod and staff are the same. They were two separate but important tools of a shepherd, because the rod was used as a weapon, used to fend off wolves and lions. But the staff was more for guidance, pulling sheep back from danger. A skilled shepherd could throw that rod, the one used for protection as a weapon, he could throw it with deadly accuracy to strike a predator before it even reached the flock. There's something remarkable here. See, shepherds would often sleep across the entrance of the sheepfold. So if he had all the sheep gathered and there was some kind of makeshift fence around it, he would sleep on the ground longwise across the entrance, literally becoming the gate where the sheep would come and go. So nothing could get in without going through the shepherd first. So we consider Easter morning. Jesus didn't just fight off danger. He walked straight into the valley of the shadow of death, and he defeated it. The good shepherd did that for us. He protects us. The rod and the staff, the weapon was the cross. It was the battle, and the resurrection was the victory. 2 Timothy 1 says, our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And John 10 says it this way, I gave them, this is Jesus' words, I gave them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. You see, Jesus as the good shepherd, probably recalling those words from Psalm 23 of his ancestor David. Because Jesus lives, death is no longer a dead end. It's just a shadow. And shadows can't harm us in the light, the life of the risen Savior. So the good shepherd, he provides, he protects. But how about this? He is present with us. Church, can we just end by dwelling on that for a moment? The good shepherd provides, so we shall not be in want. He protects, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We don't have to fear any evil because he's there. His rod as the weapon will fight off enemies. His staff, having both of them, that should bring us comfort. He can fight off the enemies. And you know what the staff was used for? The staff is that one you're probably more familiar with that you see in the movies and pictures. The rod was just a straight, long, like, you know, thick piece of wood that he would use as a weapon. But the staff was the one that had the curl at the end. You know what he would use it for? If a sheep would go astray, maybe get stuck in the thicket, he would take it. And it was designed and shaped just for the sheep, nothing else, to just go gently around the neck of the sheep and pull it back to safety. Parents, you kind of wish that you had that for your kids? I'm not making a recommendation. I'm just saying you probably wish you had that. So the rod is the weapon and the staff to gently just bring the sheep back into the fold. Because he protects, he provides, but he also, church, is present with us. And I'm not going to ask if you feel it. Do you know it? Do you know it to be true? The last verse of this famous psalm says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell. Just think of that word, dwell. Dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Think of those words, goodness, mercy, all the days of my life. Not just when I'm feeling it, when things are well, every single day, and I shall dwell. I shall be in the presence of the Lord forever, for always. See, this is where Psalm 23 is heading all along, just six short verses. Provision is wonderful, we need it. Protection is powerful, the rod and the staff. But you know what the presence of God is in our lives? That's our wonderful promise. David says, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Not visit, not just pass through, but to dwell, to stay. The New Testament calls it abiding, being with him. But here's the question that begs to be asked. How can sinners, how can mere sheep like us, dwell with a holy God forever? David didn't fully know it, but he trusted in God. The church, we do. We know it's only possible because of the resurrection. Because Jesus, the good shepherd, didn't just lead the sheep. He provided, he protected, he laid down his life for them, for us, his very body, his very presence. But then he took it up again. See, the sheep needed the shepherd, as we do too. But shepherds, they don't just lead the sheep during the day, but they often call them by name. See, Jesus tells us elsewhere that the sheep hear his voice, they know it. See, the sheep learn to recognize the shepherd's voice. Isn't that amazing? Even in a mixed flock with other shepherds, as they're hanging out, have some fellowship, sheep will follow only their shepherd's unique call. In the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we hear that voice, a voice that calls us out of sin, that calls us out of death, and a voice that says, because I live, you also will live. So instead of that judgment pursuing us into the valley of the shadow of death, David says, no, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Follow, pursue, like a shepherd chasing after a wandering sheep. That's us. Because of the resurrection, we're not chased by judgment and condemnation any longer. We are pursued by grace. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. We are pursued by grace. John 14, Jesus says, because I live, you also will live. In Revelation 21, at the end of all things, behold, the dwelling place. There's that word dwell again. The dwelling place of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. It's not a temporary peace. It's not an occasional comfort. It is the eternal presence with God, only made possible on the third day. God accepted the payment that Jesus paid in the resurrection. Because Jesus went to the cross to pay a debt that he didn't owe, because we owed a debt that we could never pay. Helpless and hopeless without the risen Savior. So, that's the promise, the very presence of God. It's a reality for us. Psalm 23 can be a beautiful reality. Because Jesus lives, we have provision in our deepest needs. We have protection from our greatest fears and our greatest enemies. And we have the presence of the eternal God that will never leave us. So today we don't just say the Lord is my shepherd. We say it with such clarity. We can say it with such confidence, more than David ever could, because our shepherd is not in the grave. Our shepherd is risen, and because he's risen, we can dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As we bring it to a close, what do we do with this? These are truths that are not only truths to be believed, but to be lived out. Let's trust in his provision. We need to stop striving to meet our deepest needs on our own. We simply need to rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Daily reminding ourselves that in him we already have all that we need. We have salvation, forgiveness, and new life. Our God shall supply all our needs according to his riches. We need to trust in his provision and walk in his protection. Whenever there's fear, there is worry, there's burdens, the weight of the world on your shoulders. Whether it's fear of the future or of suffering or even fear of death, let us remember the resurrection. The shepherd has already gone before us. The shepherd has defeated the greatest enemy of all, and that is death. So therefore, when we do walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we shall fear no evil. And then finally, let's just abide in his presence. Let's dwell in the house of the Lord. We know we will forever. We can enjoy it. We can enjoy that abiding presence of Jesus here and now. We should never settle for just a shallow fellowship with God. We should pursue daily fellowship with our risen shepherd through prayer, through the reading of his word, through worship. We can live with great confidence because Christ the Lord is risen today. Church, he has risen, and he has risen indeed. He has risen indeed. Let's stand. I'd like to pray, and we will close our time together by singing a song of worship. After we hear the truth of God's word, after we hear the powerful proclamation that Jesus is no longer on the cross, that the tomb is empty, it should move us to worship him. We can worship him through song and praise him as we gather together. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. Thank you for our time together in your word. Thank you for the beautiful, familiar sounds of Psalm 23. Thank you, God. Thank you that we have eternal life offered to us in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. Thank you, Lord, that you made the gospel truth, the gospel so simple that anyone can understand it and believe.
Yes.
That if we believe in Jesus, we are saved. Your word tells us over and over, we thank you, that if we believe that he is who he says he is, the very Son of God, who rose on the third day, and that he did what he promised that he came to do, to die on the cross and come back to life on the third day. If we believe that truth and trust it for our eternal destiny, that he is the only one that can do it, we are safe and secure in you,
yes,
our good shepherd. Thank you, Lord, that we can proclaim that truth, that we can dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We praise you now because of this wonderful truth that we proclaim. Amen and amen. Church, let's worship the Lord.
Thank you.
proclaim that and we sing it, joining our hearts and our voices together, that we can say forever. Forever you're glorified. Forever we get to dwell in your house, the house of the Lord. Thank you, God, that we can proclaim that truth that is forever and ever and ever. Because death has been defeated. God, thank you for this cornerstone of our faith, a living faith. Because you live, we also shall live. Father, thank you for Jesus, his willingness to go to the cross, his proclamation and promise that he would come back to life, and he did just that. Thank you for accepting that payment. Thank you, Father God, for that wonderful truth that we can proclaim over and over, forever, forever, forever. May we leave this place singing, hallelujah, the Lamb has overcome. And we will praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Church, thank you for joining us. Happy Easter.